Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. One of the hardest hit industries during the pandemic shutdown is the hospitality industry. Restaurants were forced to provide takeout only services, and many closed altogether, but others have survived and are part of the DMV Black Restaurant Week, which continues through this weekend. And tonight, we examine how that works. And we also hope to hear from some restaurant owners out there who are still trying to make it happen. My guests are Dr. Aaron Tucker and Farrar Tate, co-founders of DMV Black Restaurant Week. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're a restaurant owner, I'd like to give you a little shout out and see how you're doing. You can also tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Aaron and Farrar, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, thank you very much.
Aaron,
thank you.
Great. So let's talk about this because, you know, we've been in the midst of this, you know, this shutdown since March. We are coming to, you know, the end of the year. Aaron, how are restaurant owners faring right now?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Harold, for having us. It has been exceptionally tough within our region. About 40% of just all restaurants, period, have either had to reduce their hours or even close. Within the Black ownership space, overall, I think the numbers, we don't have the same amount of numbers, but according to JP Morgan Chase, 60% of black owned businesses, let's just take that as a whole, will close during or have closed during this time. So this is actually an exceptionally crucial time for our businesses. What we have learned is something, even for us at DMV Black Restaurant Week, there's a little bit of a difference that we're noticing here. And that is restaurants that are maybe not located in like the central area, maybe, you know, where, you know, kind of the center area, the downtown area, but more in the neighborhoods, are actually faring quite well. Everybody took a hit in March and April, but somewhere around June, it started to turn around with a focus on buying Black, buying local, and a lot of our restaurants that were takeouts that a lot of people 2 years ago kind of laughed at us and said, no, you know, why are you including takeouts? Why are you including coffee shops and bars? And those now are the ones in the neighborhoods that have found their way of being able to be to succeed during this time.
That's an interesting point because I agree that, you know, restaurants, you know, by definition, it's not just, you know, sit down dinner. I mean, it's, you know, it's the breakfast crowd. It's, you know, it's the lunch crowd.
Yeah.
Just because you serve coffee, you're not just serving coffee. You know, you've got muffins and buns and all kinds of things, Farrar. And so I agree, they should be included.
Yeah, this is why we had a model that included, and our theme this year is the power of collaboration. We could not forget that we've been taking food out of restaurants for years to carry out. And so those restaurants that have properly pivoted to make sure that their customers are safe are doing quite well. We were just out here in Bowie at Ruby Southern Kitchen, and I'm telling you, the food is fantastic. The staff is amazing. And it was an experience that allowed me to still taste that Southern cuisine in a safe place that I can take the food home.
How about that?
Businesses are doing well. We just have to keep supporting. And this is why Black Restaurant Week, DMV Black Restaurant Week, is so important, because not only do we give you proper information to run your business successfully, we connect the community to know that we together will sustain this industry. We can't wait for someone else to do it. We have to participate to these restaurants and eat this food right.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about DMV Black Restaurant Week. If you own a restaurant and you are participating in, you know, the DMV Black Restaurant Week, or look, if you're just trying to make it happen, making it survive during the pandemic shutdown, give us a call. I'd like to hear from you, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Talk to me a little bit, Farrard, about what you're offering restaurants and other kinds of, you know, eating establishments to allow them to do that pivot, as you say.
Thank you so much again, brother. Being a Washingtonian, we understand that we always had to move. We've always been pivoting this city. And so we want to give the restaurants the information. We connect them to the resources like RAMW to show them how to properly make sure that their establishments are clean and make sure that their staff are practicing these COVID processes, which are all new. But we want to make sure that the food continues to be able to reach our customers, be it by pickup, grab and go, as well as you coming in to quickly receive a meal that you can take back to your home. So we teach all of these processes throughout the year. We start with this week, but we are helping our restaurants throughout the year connect up with the services that not only the city provides, but organizations like Dream Out Loud, where we provide training so to make sure our caterers and our food truck operators are doing it successfully, but they also are doing it safely.
Talk to me about that a little bit more. That, you know, that really sounds, you know, interesting, because pandemic or not, food service businesses need training.
Hey, Dr. Tucker, tell them about the conference and how this training continues to go on continuously.
Yeah, so we do. The week itself is really the kickoff for activities we do for the whole year. Our motto is culture, education, and good food. And education is actually the common theme that brought three of us. There's three co-founders. Andre A.J. Johnson is our third, really to this space. So we've offered this this year, through the help of our partners, a 5-day virtual education conference. We call them Lunch and Learns. So if you do have to pull away and just kind of listen to a lunch and learn for an hour, 15 minutes, as well as a conversation and collaboration, we've been running actually since Tuesday. So that conference always kicks off with just such valuable information for restaurant owners, managers, people who have business ideas, product development, and caterers. And then as we continue going on throughout the year, we provide customized training for our partners throughout the region.
So even before I go any further with this, how can people find out more about that? Because that really, that has really piqued, you know, my interest, Aaron, because, you know, I think that, you know, when you just think about people who, and you guys were on the program, you know, earlier this year, and we heard from restaurant owners who were starting literally as the pandemic was invading our lives. Mm-hmm. And you know, and some of them didn't do well, some of them were able to survive. So how can people find out more about this?
Sure. They can visit us at dmvbrw.com. They can send an email to us at info@dmvbrw.com, and we will reply right on back to you.
So you said dmvbrw.com.
Yes.
There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to the co-founders of Black Restaurant Week. Gosh, I said it right. Yes, I did. Boy, look, let me tell you, that restaurant week, those R's and those W's, they get you every time. I want to hear from some restaurant owners. Let me know how you're doing tonight. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sansaray calling from Prince George's County. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hey, how are you?
Hey,
I'm
big
fine.
Sister.
How are you? Hey, brother. So, Harold, I wanted to also give a shout out to Black-owned country clubs that have events at their clubhouses. We have to support them too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially, you know, any, you know, where there's food, where food is going to be served. You know, certainly, exactly. I think that you can, you know, you can kind of squeeze, you know, squeeze that in. Now, you know, are you cooking, Sansa Ray? You're making pies out of that kitchen window.
But I can cook. Thank you very much.
And my sister's a great baker.
Well, you know, maybe she needs to start her own business. I mean, no time like the present. You know, you'll know very quickly whether or not you're going to have a successful business. But thank you so much for your phone call.
I'm glad you said that because, see, we help a lot of caterers who start, who just had an idea. We help a lot of caterers bring their ideas into fruition through giving them the training. We've also this year partnered up with a lot of church communities. We are blessed to have Metropolitan AME Church helping caterers have space to utilize their kitchen. So we don't just look at the space and say restaurant. Wherever there's food, every way we can feed our community, we're there at D&D Black Restaurant Week helping and make that connection. That's why the power collaboration is so important to make sure we continue this feeding our community.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you own a restaurant, a carryout, and you are trying to make it happen in the midst of the pandemic, we would like to hear from you. So, since the last time, Farrard, that we had a chance to chat, what has changed for Black restaurants? Have they been able to do a little bit better? Because the real difficult thing is, you know, reduced capacity when inside eating was allowed, the weather is starting to change, and so, you know, you had some sidewalk eating, some parking lot eating, and then things just keep changing week by week.
And it's those companies that are connected to the proper resources that the city has offered. All of our counties at D.C., Virginia, we have provided support from the state level. And those restaurants and caterers and food trucks that have pivoted and followed the guidelines of RAMW and the support, they're doing really well. I have a good chef, Chef Tate, who does the Cookie Man. He was doing catering, and now you can find him doing cookies called the Cookie Man on Instagram and Facebook. So companies that have pivoted. And we also talked about the Shell Shack, which is a new spot that just opened up over here off in Maryland. All these restaurants, Peaches, that have gone online and are reaching their customers and using social media techniques to make sure their customers know that they're open and ready to serve, they're doing well. We as a community have to know we have the resources and the financial capital to continue to support these restaurants as they continue to support the community.
You know, go right ahead.
I think Harold, also one of the things that we're noticing is that the restaurants that are being just creative and being innovative and reaching out and asking for help, even the young lady that talked about Black-owned country clubs, connect with us because everybody is collaborating right now. It's not the ones who are really making it, they're working with others. In the restaurant industry and food industry, that doesn't really happen. It's not like the hotel industry or banking or all these other ones. Generally, a lot of times, they don't always communicate. Now, everybody is really starting to communicate, work with shared resources, and we're seeing it. It's the mindset of the business owner that is really, really driving sustainability.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about DMV Restaurant Week. We're also, you know, shouting out Black-owned restaurants who are trying to hold it together, keeping their business afloat. We'll give you a shout-out if you tell us how you're doing in the midst of the pandemic. 202-319-7810. Renita, calling from Capitol Heights. Hey, Renita, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey, go right ahead.
Hi,
go ahead.
Hi, this is Renita. We're with Simply Just Taste of Heaven Catering.
What's the name of it?
Simply Just Heaven.
Simply Just Heaven, okay.
Yes, we are a catering company that pivoted over to carry out once, you know, the pandemic had happened. So we're just promoting our special tomorrow. We're having holiday tasting from 2 to 4 in Capitol Heights, Maryland.
And what's your, do you have a website, Renita?
Yeah, sure.
What is it, real quick?
SJHCatering.com.
SJHCatering.com. Real quick, tell me in 20 seconds, how have you fared during the pandemic? Apparently you're still afloat.
Yes, we are still afloat. I want to thank Severn Maryland Community College. They helped me to pivot and to stay afloat and to get online.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Love that. That's wonderful.
Yes, the resources are out here, and we have to connect. We made it free this year for every restaurant, catering, food truck to participate. Even our conference this year was free. We didn't charge anybody because this is the time for us to support each other.
Well, there you go. SJHCatering.com. Renita, hang in there. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It is DMV Black Restaurant Week. Chef Aria, we're going to talk to you after the break, and we are shouting out black restaurants, carryouts, trying to keep you guys afloat during the pandemic shutdowns and changes. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is coming up in just a few seconds on WHUR. We continue here next on Sirius XM Channel 141. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are taking a look at how black restaurants, carryouts, and other food services are faring during the pandemic shutdown. We've been in this since March, lots of up and downs, and we're talking about this in the midst of DMV Black Restaurant Week. It is continuing through this weekend. My guests are Dr. Aaron Tucker and Farrar Tate, co-founders of DMV Black Restaurant Week. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. We'll give you a shout out if you tell us how you're doing, some of the ups and downs, how you're trying to innovate and stay afloat. I want to go to Chef Aria calling.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm amazing. I'm actually calling from my kitchen. I just finished up wrapping up my last order.
Where's your kitchen?
As a participant of Black Restaurant Week.
Where is your kitchen?
I'm located in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you're in D.C. Okay. Okay. Just trying to make sure you weren't in Georgia, but that's fine. I mean, you know, I don't know. I thought I heard a slight Southern accent. I don't know what was.
Well, my family's from North Carolina.
See?
I have to give it up.
See?
Know?
Her food is amazing, brother. Her food is amazing. And her customer service is like icing on top of a sweet cake.
So what do you have going on, Chef Aria, in your kitchen? You said you just finished up a last
today
order.
Today we actually had crab cake dinner. So we had crab cakes and southern fried potatoes with onions. Mm. Country, North Carolina, hush puppies, beans, awesome, amazing, string beans and carrots, peppers, onions, southern style all the way, sweet tea.
Not the peppers and onions and sweet tea.
Absolutely.
The swite tea.
She's completed a training program. She completed a training program that really helped her business to grow that was sponsored through Dream Out Loud, which is one of our partners. Tell us about that training.
Oh, my gosh. The training was amazing. And Chef Tate was actually a mentor of mine, and he helped guide me so much. And, you know, Coach Phoebe as well in reference to my branding of my business, teaching me about marketing, teaching me about how to develop a business plan to know what my SWOT analysis was before I even got into the logistics of my business plan, to know what my target market was, to know exactly who I was marketing to, the demographics of certain areas I would be catering to, you know, be informative of all that information because it would help me with my price point, when I was to service those particular areas with whatever foods that I was offering at that particular time.
Gosh, I feel like Gregory Hines in Waiting to Exhale. Yum, yum.
training is so important.
We're not even going to talk about my famous sweet potato pies.
So look, Chef, Chef Aria, how long have you been in business?
Wow. I started in officially 2014, but I've been doing it for like 18 years now. And I have to give a shout out to Easy Street. Easy Street is amazing. He also gave me an opportunity to cater for his music academy.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, that's you can't mess up. you can't mess up, because he'll, you know, just as wonderful as he is, he'll shout you out. Either way, his silence is deadly. So, but hold on for a minute. Okay. But how has it been during the pandemic shutdown? Because, you know, you've been in business for some 6 years, and then we had this huge change this year.
Because I've actually had this business as a side business. I'm officially a chef for the hospitality industry, and I've been in the hospitality industry for 22 years. So when the hospitality took a turn, you know, which is a $1 billion industry, it affected everything in a major way, because that was my means and my finances to fuel my side business. And once that shut down, I had to pivot and reinvent everything and think of, okay, how can I do this? How can I do that? And I work with some wonderful young chefs. And basically, we just did a collaboration and came together. So I would call Chef Tony, Tonsino, Tony Turnup. I would call Urban Chef, you know, and Chef Naisky. I would call A Taste Catering. You know, I would call all these different young chefs, and we would all get together, and we would do pop-ups. We would collaborate with different menus. If someone wasn't able to service a customer, we would allow the other person to have that opportunity, and just pass the opportunities to one another. It's just been amazing.
So let me ask you, before I let you go, because I want to make sure I get some of the calls in, but okay. The shutdown started in March. So that, you know, that was early spring. The weather began to warm up. And then, of course, we had the summer, and now we are in the fall. But the weather is about to turn cold, and winter, you know, winter is coming. What is your plan to make sure that you will be able to survive, your business will be able to survive when winter hits?
I think that a lot of the chefs now and the restaurateurs have been resilient and just adapting to the situation and pivoting on to different things. So right now, because we are going into the winter months, I'm thinking of my menu. You know, I have a background of Japanese training, so I'm definitely going to do some ramen bowls, some udon bowls. I'm looking at different homemade soups, you know, so I have all those things. I'm just looking at what's my next menu, you know, how can I service the people, you know. I know what people are going to want, or, you know, just try to be above and ready, you know, just trying to stay ready.
Yeah. What's your website?
I don't have a website, but I do have an Instagram.
Okay.
Baby steps. I'm getting there. That page will help me the rest of the way.
Real quick.
Okay, my Instagram is at Chef Aria Brown. That's Chef, C-H-E-F, Aria, A-R-I-A, Brown, B-R-O-W-N.
There you go.
Well, reach out. Let's do it.
Well, Chef Aria Brown, thank you so much. And, you know, hang in there.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate your time.
You guys have a great evening. Harold Fisher and Chef Tate, I'm going to send you guys some food.
Thank you so much. Yeah, fix a brother plate. There you go. Thank you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about DMV Black Restaurant Week and how restaurants are surviving during the pandemic shutdown. Ms. Tate calling from Saki Soul Food. Thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I was just calling because I was enjoying hearing all the information that was being shared, and to say hi to my big brother.
Thank you, love. Thank you, sister.
Yeah, he's been a great help in helping me establish my brand-new restaurant. I have Saki Soul Food down here near the National Ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find me by way of DoorDash, Saki Soul Food on DoorDash.
So help me with this. Saki Soul Food sounds like a African-American Pacific Islands fusion. Is that what we're doing now?
Well, no. What I do is put love on a plate. I give you all the southern taste you can ever want to think of having in your mouth, from barbecue chicken, jerk chicken, macaroni and cheese, fresh greens, all the southern style staples that we all love.
So what's the Saki part?
Well, that's actually the initials of my name. My name is Sakina, and it means peace.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where Saki comes from. When I put love on a plate, it's all done in peace.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, I thought it was like soul food spelled out in Japanese symbols. Who knows? But
Look, you're taking me somewhere else now. Yes, indeed.
You know, we do encourage creativity on this program. So do you have a website, or how can people find you?
Well, again, they can find me by way of DoorDash. If you go to DoorDash and you want to order a meal on Wednesdays or Fridays, you can go to DoorDash and type in Saki Soul Food, and there I'll be.
Okay, let me ask you real quick, because we've been asking all of the restaurant and food service owners, how has this year been for your business?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. I actually started a year ago. So coming in right before the COVID, I guess you could say, was probably good for me, because people kind of got used to looking forward to having my meals on Wednesdays and Fridays. So it really hasn't stopped. It's actually kind of picked up because of it. I guess people want that home-cooked meal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've just been happy to be able to provide that.
Yeah, so no major problems for you this year?
No, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you so much for listening to the program and giving us a call and letting us know how you're doing. You know, Ms. Tate with Saki Soul Food, you hang in there and certainly be safe.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll give you a shout out, a restaurant shout out, carry out shout out. Let us know how you're doing during this pandemic shutdown. You know, one of the other things, Aaron and Farrar, that was announced today, and Aaron, you mentioned, the food trucks earlier today. You know, Prince George's County launched this restaurant resiliency program. It's a grant for small restaurants, locally owned restaurants and small restaurants, locally owned chains, and that includes food trucks. And that's not everybody has been as fortunate to thrive, Aaron, during this pandemic. And I think that's another one of those, great opportunities to get a grant, to help shore up your business and to keep moving on, particularly as we are entering what some people are calling a dark winter.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. There's a couple things, really great points that you make, Harold. Well, for the first thing, let me kind of focus on that. When you are running a business and you have high rent, or the lease that you're in was not properly negotiated, those were the businesses that found themselves very, very quickly having to close. Now, what's interesting about that is that if you were a restaurant in the district, if you kind of gave us a call, you're a member of DMV Black Restaurant Week, we have you, maybe, contact RAMW, there are actually proper procedures that they could have told you and rights that that you had as a leaseholder, that your landlord cannot just, you know, kick you out, or they just can't do certain things. They have to go through proper procedures. And so without having that information, a lot of restaurants even sort of felt that they had to necessarily close. But that high rent makes a huge, huge difference. First of all, regardless of what was happening or not, of whether a restaurant could stay resilient. The second thing that we are finding is that within the grants community, these grants are accessible. It is absolutely accessible to every restaurant owner that's listening. What you need to do, though, is you got to have your financials in order. You just have to. They're just asking for 2 years of financials. They're not asking for a lot. So please make sure that you actually, you know, are working, you know, with an accountant who has your P&L statements ready to go and your tax returns. It's just a huge avenue and area, but those grants are absolutely accessible. And then the third area is that one of the things I liked of what Saki said was that she says, hey, I'm open on Wednesdays and Fridays. People know me open on Wednesdays and Fridays. You don't have to be open 7 days a week. As a matter of fact, it might actually be straining your numbers and finances to have a 7-day-a-week operation or a 6-day-a-week operation in some aspects. You need that time to reset. You need that time to plan and order. And it's those particular businesses that really had that business model and really started thinking about that have also been able to be resilient.
And as a matter of fact, as you were talking about this, you're absolutely right in the case of this restaurant resiliency fund in Prince George's County. The information is online. I'm going to post that on the Daily Drum page, as we do every night, for information being shared during the course of our Inside Segment conversations, because in this particular case, we're talking about up to a $25,000 grant. That's, that's real money.
Yeah, but there's also services like the Washington Gas and contact your utility company. They have programs to help you look at how can you reduce your operational costs. Whoever you're providing food from, talk to your brokers. Look at each part of your restaurant or caterer or food service business and begin to itemize your operational costs to see where can you cut away from. Because when you close your restaurant, you don't just lose your business. Someone's losing a job. We wanted to also note that the restaurant industry employs a lot of people. And so we want us to continue to support the restaurants because we need people to continue to work. So we have Washington Gas. We have lots of organizations out here are looking to help you stay in business. RAMW offered 2 years of just supporting, over 3 years, they've been supporting DMV Black Restaurant with making sure the restaurant owners have the information. And if you're not a member, you need to become a member of these organizations and get connected to the services that the cities, wherever city you're in, get connected to the agencies, the Urban Leads, the Marshall Heights Development Corporation. All of these organizations are here to help you get to your next level of functioning and sustaining your business.
You know, Farrard, we've spoken a lot about what people have gone through during the pandemic shutdown, not only this time, but the last time we had a chance to speak with you. What have you learned about this process that has, you know, given you pause or kind of helped you to make some pivots of your own to help restaurateurs?
We had the pleasure of listening to our pastor at Metropolitan. We cannot forget about our history. We have always come through struggle together. When we can use the power of collaboration and recycle the money in our community, we have the resources to sustain ourselves. So what I have found that we do not forget our ancestors' struggle, when we do not forget that we have the skill sets to pivot, when we remember that we have the spirit of resilience that flows through us, we will get through this as a community and we will come out on the other side better than we were. Because I've seen a lot of businesses who have gotten, you know, really focus on doing good business. And when you do good business, you produce a product that people want to pay for.
Mm. What mistakes have people made this year that have prevented them from doing this this pivot?
Dr. Tucker, we've seen a lot of people don't have their paperwork. You want to go into that, Dr. Tucker?
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, sure. I mean, definitely, I think, but having the financials ready to go for the opportunities, I think, was very, very huge for the grants, et cetera. But I also think that we have been, as an industry, very reluctant to embrace technology. And not technology in a sense of we have to, like, write codes and all of these things, but that ability to just simply have your restaurant on a mobile platform. So just being able for people to order their food directly to your place. I'm not talking about a third-party app. Mm-hmm. Directly to your place using, you know, a mobile app. We saw really quickly, you know, restaurants who really knew their customers. They knew their area. Do you know who your council member is? Do you know who your county official is? Do you have a relationship? We just saw that that the work definitely that we do continues, still needs to be done, because it is really with that, you know, we saw that those are areas of really of huge gaps. And so, you know, when the city agencies, you know, came to us for like DMPED and DCRA and, you know, really saw that, you know, these are the areas, these deficiencies, and making sure we can bring these businesses to their services, we really saw that there was definitely an opening opportunity for these businesses to have that.
You know, you make such an interesting and important point, because, you know, during the pandemic, everybody's working from home. And I'm talking about, you know, when you're talking about, you know, customer service and the like. Mm-hmm. And so even when you have, you know, businesses that may operate out of the home, you know, whether you're, you know, baking cakes or what have you, the anxiety levels, the stress levels of your customers are so much higher now. Yep. And you know, talk about, you know, if I can't reach you, if I, you know, if I've had a rough day at work and I want one of your cakes.
Yes.
And I'm just going to, you know, do the, you know, the pandemic cake and ice cream this weekend. Don't judge me. I'm going to sit and watch Law and Order all weekend and eat your cake. And if I call you and I can't reach you.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, brother, that's a two-edged sword or a knife that cuts both ways, because we as consumers have to be more educated in making decisions on how and where we spend our money. We have to look for the opportunities to spend our money in our community. But our restaurants, our caterers, our food trucks need to be prepared to be on platforms like the Young Brothers, who are launching, and Aaron, you can say it better than me, but they're launching their business to make sure that they can deliver food in our communities to our customers. So we have to make sure we get the restaurants ready, but we as customers have to practice the proper due diligence on reaching out to these restaurants of color to be able to help sustain them through our intelligent purchases.
You know, and I think you are so right about that. And you also have to, as a customer, there are some changes that you are going to have to make as well. And here's a prime example. And this goes, you know, black restaurants or, you know, anyone else. So I get off, you know, I left here at, you know, 9:30. And I was starving, and I'm driving home, and the reality is that most of these restaurants now, carryouts and the like, they're closing at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
When you know, BC, before COVID, they were closing during the week at 11 and sometimes, you know, midnight. And I literally, and I, you know, I live in Baltimore. And so, you know, I'm driving and I'm calling, and I think I called about four places, and they were all closed or closing. Mm-hmm. And it was really, you know, frustrated. All, you know, I ended up having some sweet potato fries because that, you know, I hadn't had anything cooked, you know, but.
Well, there's a delivery service by some brothers. Aaron, can you talk about that? That's coming to town?
Well, well, during our conference, we actually had a company called Black and Mobile that has been expanding their delivery service throughout the country. We are trying to get them here into this area to service this. But even, you know, more importantly, I think that's where Harold is kind of getting that. You know, as consumers, we have to change, like, our entire behavior.
Yes.
I mean, this DMV area, I mean, we're known for events and programming and going out and still interacting that toll face to face. I mean, that's kind of the world we lived in and breathed in. And now it's how can I, you know, strategically get my networking on through, you know, 12 hours of Zoom, and then maybe if I can get, you know, a group of, you know, six people with masks, you know, socially distancing.
Well, here's the entrepreneur.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, but here's the entrepreneur in me, because I see opportunities. So we want people to know that there are opportunities out here to support. There are new businesses that have to be launched. There are new opportunities for you out here to create the fill in the gap with services to support these restaurants. If you are delivery, if you have a car, if you can help these caterers get food. We have helped so many caterers look at their menu to provide whole dinners for Thanksgiving, whole dinners for Christmas.
Yeah.
We have to reinvent the way we operate, and there's so many new business opportunities that you can create now when you look at this as an opportunity to take yourself and your business to the next level.
Yeah.
And you know, I think something else that happened, I heard this earlier this week, and I think this applies. You know, infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci made a comment. He said that just because, he said three times a week, he said he doesn't have to, but three times a week, he orders carry out from a mom and pop restaurant. And, you know, I was really kind of struck by that, because people who are fortunate, you know, and blessed like I am, even in the midst of this pandemic, I still have a job. And for those people who still have jobs, and you know, if you can, it would not hurt you to reach out and support you know, a black-owned restaurant, or a carry out, or you know, catering company, you know, whatever you have, because you know just because, and something else, this just occurred to me. My neighbor, and I'm going to give her a shout out. Tanya Neal, she had a birthday party, in her backyard. One of those for one of her children, socially distant, one of her adult children, I believe it was, and I remember standing in my window and watching a woman in a chef's outfit walking up and down the street, you know, taking things from her truck up to her house. And, you know, that is what this conversation, you know, is about.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Yeah, when you have, a black-owned caterer. And it was a huge party. I wasn't invited, but I'll have to talk to her about that later.
But it was beautiful that you witnessed that, and that makes you want to do the same thing. You kept people employed. She kept the family fed and safe. And there's this ecosystem that we will sustain when we constantly know that it's on us to share these opportunities to do business. And for those people out there who have an idea of to open a cookie or to open up a pie or to do something, link up with these existing restaurants. We had the pleasure of talking with Thompson Hospitality, who has amazing restaurants like Max Bar. He himself is pivoting his large restaurants, and he is looking for opportunities to help smaller restaurants owners to get into this industry, because that's how we're going to sustain it. When people jump in and say, hey, I want to do it the correct way, I need to help, and I have something to serve.
Yeah, and we all know that this is going to end at some point.
Yes.
And we need to keep, these black-owned restaurants, viable, sustainable, Small business remains, the engine of this country. And I think this is a prime example. So, I want to thank, both of you for coming on, spending some time. It is Black Restaurant Week. Got it right again. Thank goodness. Those R's and W's. I'm working on it. Yeah. Go out and, get your carry out, put in the phone call, order online. And certainly enjoy Dr. Aaron Tucker, Farrar Tate. Thank you so much for talking to us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, brother, for all that you do to keep our community informed and empowered, brother.
And look, stay safe. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, that is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Friday, November 13th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Dominique Nash, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Certainly, you can find me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.